Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
All right, you ready to warm up them tires?
I think so. Let's warm up those tires.
All right, all right. Well, today we're going to actually complete the homework that was assigned to us by ourselves. So we'll talk about our dream teams. We've got, of course, our favorite shit we didn't make up.
Yeah, a little preview of the Sonoma race coming up.
Yeah. And then we'll top it off by talking about the championship implications, who we think is going to win, what we think this is going to mean going into the next season.
Absolutely.
All right. So last week we gave ourselves homework, hashtagged out IndyCar Dream Team. And thanks for everybody who sent theirs in. It was pretty interesting, I think.
I enjoyed it.
I really did. There was a lot of variety.
There was. I enjoyed everybody who participated.
So thank you for that. Keep going. It's going to be a long off season, so let's keep this going.
Yeah, we're gonna have lots more fun homework and things to keep us jazzed about IndyCar in the interim while we cry ourselves to sleep and wait for the season to start next spring.
Yeah, because football season's not helping me out right now.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love football, but it's not IndyCar.
But it's not IndyCar, no.
It's not IndyCar. All right, so my dream team, yeah. I picked Newgarden, of course.
Obby.
And then I picked Scott Dixon.
Okay.
Which I was torn because I love Will Power as well, but I went with Dixon.
Yeah?
I went with Dixon, and then I also picked Hinch because I love Hinch.
Well, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
But yeah, I think they're all good drivers, and I think that they all are versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'd be really fun on a team together.
Oh, they would be.
And somebody tweeted out, I don't remember who it was now, but they basically did mine, and then they put alternate Connor Daly. And I was like, yes, I would add an alternate for Connor Daly as well.
That would be our dream team, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really would be.
Yeah. All right.
So who do you have?
Well, I mean, obviously I had Rossi.
Obviously.
Because 2018 is the year O Rossi. Gonna call my shot early. I picked Hinch because why not? It's Hinch. Okay.
It's Hinch.
And then I picked Bourdais. As weird, it's kind of a left field, but I thought, like, Hilliker, if you were a team owner, like, what would you want to look for? And so there's like three levels of experience here. So you've got Bourdais, who's been like driving cars forever.
Yeah.
You've got Hinch, kind of not new, but not one of the seasoned veterans. And then you've got Rossi, who's on his second year, so you've got a good mix of experiences.
You do, and also you've got a good mix of different types of driving, because Rossi grew up in that F1 driving, and so he's extremely versatile on the road courses, but obviously he does very well on ovals.
Yeah, and then, like, both Bourdais has driven damn near everything. I mean, he did the Le Mans when he was 20 years old, so I was like, I think he's a good choice.
Yeah, I think that's a good team.
Yeah, I'm excited. So let's.
If we were opposing team owners, we'd have to fight to the death over Hinch, but.
Oh, we totally would.
We absolutely would.
I mean, let's. Yeah.
But I would win because I'm a scuba diver and you are not.
I mean, I run. And I box. Know. You forget about boxing.
I know you box, okay? I do often forget that. But you know what? I mean, I don't have any formal training as a boxer, but I've been in quite a few fights.
Yes, but did you grow up with Harrison Hilliker?
No, but I grew up with Joe Meyer.
That's true.
Okay, I grew up with a dad who was a cop. Quote a guy that was in the line when I went to pick up our will call tickets for the Brickyard, who was teaching his, like, 10-year-old niece some self-defense moves in line, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, why not?
She was like, why are you doing this? And he goes, because I want you to grow up big and strong so you can beat up any man.
Nice.
And I was like, good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you. I was like, my dad was like that too. It was really cute.
Aww. Really would come down to who can offer Hinch more money.
Yeah, it would.
Which I don't know. I don't have any sponsors yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Honda won't return my phone calls.
Should
yet
I say you are the most loyal Honda customer ever.
I really, like, come on, Honda, it's not that hard,
right? All right, so in addition to Dream Team, you want to talk about some of the team movement that's happened?
Yeah, let's do that. So news that literally broke maybe 3 hours ago, I don't know. I've been in hearing, so my time list is off.
Zach, yeah, I think it was just a couple hours ago.
Just a couple hours ago. So Zach Veach, he's going to be the newest driver for Andretti Autosport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that.
I didn't know how to react.
Yeah, I can't wait to see, like, a, I don't know, some sort of press release from Andretti, like, explaining why they made that choice. Because that seems like a very interesting choice to replace Sato.
Yes. That's, yeah.
Because, I mean, I understand, you know, you want younger drivers so that you can, you know, bring them up and keep them winning and all that. Because he's signed through 2020, so it's...
It's a long contract, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be 3 seasons. Yeah, this was just his rookie year, and I think the only IndyCar race he did this year was the Indy 500, right?
I thought there was discussion about him doing another one, but I don't remember seeing him on the field.
Yeah, I don't recall him being on the field in any other race, and I could be 100% wrong on that, but yeah, it was an interesting choice, especially because, like we've discussed, you know, this is only Rossi's second season, so it's not like Andretti is full of, you know, drivers that are going to retire next year.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, especially with Sato leaving, it's RHR who's, he's not, I don't know how long he's been driving, but it's not like a Power or a Castroneves or a Kanaan that's been out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's still in his 30s.
Yeah, I mean, he's our age. I don't know what the going age is for drivers who retire, but whatever.
I mean, I think if they're successful, then in their 40s.
Yeah. And then there's Marco, who's been on the team, I don't know, 10 years? 5 years?
I think even longer than that, because his first year was also Danica Patrick's first year.
Okay.
Which I think was 2005.
That sounds about right. I accidentally signed up for like a month of Motorsport TV on Amazon.com. I don't know how it happened. And one of the things you can like watch past Indy 500s, and it has his rookie year where he almost won. But he did almost win. But he did.
Best finish he's ever had.
Yes.
So yeah, I found that very interesting. And then there is speculation that Tony Kanaan is going to move to AJ Foyt.
So you are the big Kanaan fan. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I love AJ Foyt and I love Kanaan. And in this article, and it was a racer.com article, and so it's not confirmed. AJ Foyt does not put out anything.
Mm-hmm.
And as of now, he's basically just said, like, you know, he's one of many drivers that we're looking at. And AJ also said, you know, that both of his current drivers have a good shot of being drivers for them next year, but that they're not committing one way or the other on anybody. But in the article, it specified TK driving the number 14, which since AJ Foyt Racing hasn't confirmed or denied, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But I know there were a lot of people who were upset that Munoz would lose his spot.
Yeah.
And there were people who felt that Munoz deserved his spot more than Connor Daly does.
Yeah, it's a hard call.
It is a hard call. I don't know that I mean, because I like Munoz and Connor Daly.
Yeah. I mean, my only thought is that when did Munoz sign with Foyt? I think just this year, too.
Yeah.
You know what? Well, I'm sitting at my computer. Why don't I look this up?
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, and Daly just signed with AJ Foyt this year.
No, they both signed in 2016.
Yeah, so, I mean, what I would prefer to see happen is that he just adds a third car.
I think that would be very interesting.
Yeah. So, but basically, the AJ Foyt, like, their response was very PC, was basically like, you know, they're all good guys and good drivers, blah, blah. But they're looking at, you know, what's going to be the best for the team, what's going to be the best for ABC Supply, because that's who sponsors them, because obviously what everybody wants at the end of the day is wins.
That sponsorship money. Oh, I'm sorry. Wins, yes. Not that sponsorship money.
Well, they want that sponsorship money, too, but they want wins, and the sponsors want wins, too, because then that means more money for them. So,
I mean, that broke right before, well, it didn't break, but I was talking it over right before the Colts game yesterday, and as I was talking it out with my dad, I realized, like, if Kanaan came onto Foyt, that's only good for Connor. I mean, that's a good experienced driver on a team to kind of help boost everybody up.
Agreed. Well, and I think that it would behoove AJ to just add a third car because of that reason. I mean, because Munoz has more experience than Connor, but he's not what I would call a seasoned driver.
I agree.
Whereas TK is a seasoned driver, and so I think that even if TK only races, you know, another two seasons, that's still 2 years worth of knowledge and intuition that he can share with younger drivers.
Yes.
So, and it would make me happy to know that TK, you know, doesn't have to beg and plead to get a spot somewhere, you know, just to know that he's settled on a good team.
You know, he's with Ganassi now. Ganassi runs Honda engines. I guess, you know what? I guess it doesn't matter. Everybody's got the new aero kit next year, so it doesn't matter what engine you're with. Fuck it.
Yeah, but yeah, well, that was one of the issues because, yeah, he's been running a Honda engine for a long time.
He has been.
But yeah, he'll be going to Chevrolet engines if he goes to AJ Foyt.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's one of the engine drivers.
I don't think that he is.
I don't think so. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting. I mean, I'm not, I like TK, so I say I'm not a fan, but I like TK. I don't know how I feel about it, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing with Veach. Like, I just don't know how I feel about it right now.
Yeah, the Veach thing, I mean, I feel good about TK going. I just would feel bad to see either Daly or Munoz lose their spot to TK.
I definitely think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. With Veach, I'm like almost, I don't even know that I have words. Like, I'm just very, I am pregnant with questions about how this decision came to be.
Well, we forgot to mention I guess it's not if, but now that Veach is going to Andretti Autosport, you know, the big question was, will Fernando Alonso come over?
That's true.
And so now, I don't know, because what, he just took off any mention of F1 from his Twitter and his Instagram bio, and he recently posted a picture from the IndyCar ride. So,
really?
Yeah, but I also think that Fernando now is just fucking with me personally. Like, I think he knows.
He knows that you're reading his bio on the daily.
I'm just tracking.
Talk about somebody who's going to get an order of protection.
it's Fernando Watch 2017. I don't know. How do you say that in Spanish?
Diecisiete.
How do you say watch in Spanish? Stalking.
Oh, Mira.
Fernando Mira. MRA.
2017.
Yeah, there you go.
17.
I'm not going to say that.
Mira, Fernando, 17.
Let's start hashtagging that out.
I'm sure there's a better way to say that.
Well, sounds good to me. You know I don't speak Spanish.
Right. So, yeah, that is interesting because I highly doubt that Andretti's going to add a fifth car.
Here's the one caveat is if he comes over already with the funding and the sponsor, which he could from that F1 money, but it seems less and less likely at this point.
Yeah, although I guess if you know you've got Fernando coming over and he's going to be a driver who's going to podium and he's going to do well,
yeah,
then I guess maybe Andretti would feel more comfortable throwing some money at a brand new driver like Veach who hasn't necessarily done anything too exciting.
Yeah, not yet, so...
So, I mean, I guess it would make more sense to me if they were doing five cars, because then it's like, well, Fernando's kind of in the bag as far as him performing well. You know, so you know that you're bringing in a driver who's definitely going to perform well, and then you bring in a brand new one. If they don't perform well, it's not necessarily going to affect you as much.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting.
It's very interesting.
It's very, very interesting. It's going to be a fun off season. That's what it's going to be.
It is going to be a fun off season. I can't wait till the season's over. Well, I mean, I can, but
yeah.
But yeah, just to hear all the announcements that come about.
I mean, because we're still waiting. I mean, speaking of announcements, I mean, Hinch still hasn't made that announcement yet.
Yeah, he has not made the announcement. And in fact, Schmidt-Peterson said that they have like 18 drivers
28.
That they're considering.
28.
Is it up to 28 now?
28 is on the, and this is what they have been, everybody's been calling it, the short list. And I can
there we go. Yeah, 28. Yeah, it is.
And I just keep thinking of the quote from, you know, Princess Bride. You keep using that word, but I don't think you know what it means, what you think it means.
Yeah.
28 cars on the short list. That is not a short list.
I mean, as of right now, they're still acting like Hinch is going to be driving for SPM.
Well, in all of the interviews, Schmitz kept saying, like, here are our drivers. Obviously, we need to make sure that Hinchcliffe is still there. And I was like, well... Yes, you need to. So I think their focus right now is making sure they get, and I think they're just buttoning up that contract.
I would bet they probably are.
I mean, I would bet my next paycheck, and it's not a lot, that he does not leave SPM. He's not going to leave SPM.
I mean, I would bet not, unless they really tried to screw him on the contract. And I can't imagine that they wouldn't want him back.
Right. He's a big draw.
Yeah, but I bet since they're still in negotiations, I mean, they're not going to say one way or the other, and I totally understand that.
Yeah. Did you see it? I mean, this is not breaking news, but it's semi news that, oh, fuck, I closed the wrong. So I guess they are having a third car for the 500 next year, 2018. Schmidt-Peterson.
FAMS? Motors.
Yeah. This literally just popped up on my, on our Twitter feed. His name is, oh boy, Tristan Gomondi. He is a French driver.
Interesting. He's
38 years old.
Interesting.
Oh, he's not that bad looking either. Sorry, not appropriate at this moment. Yeah, let's see. He's raced in Europe. He's French, so he's gonna be, I guess, racing a car in the French colors, which are red, white, and blue. Thanks for copying us, France.
I'm pretty sure France was established before we were.
No, remember, we had our 1776, and then the tree collar was after their revolution, which was after 1776. Okay. I mean, as a whole, yes.
I'm pretty sure France was established.
Yeah, no, like, as a whole, yeah, but the whole tricolor thing happened after their revolution, was a few years after ours.
Gotcha.
So, you are welcome, France. Thanks for copying us.
Thanks for copying us.
Thanks for copying. But this article does stress that he is not the second driver. So, like, yeah, three cars for the 500, but this guy's not our second driver.
Interesting.
So, way to keep us in the dark, Sam Schmidt.
I know. Come on. We have questions we need answered.
Damn it, Sam! How am I supposed to make my predictions for next year?
Son of a bitch, Sam!
God! Sorry, Mom.
I know. I want to send, like, an email to every team owner and be like, we need the information!
I'm not asking a lot here.
Right? Quit keeping me on the edge of my seat.
I don't like not knowing things.
I can't handle the stress.
I already am anxious. Right. We started a new diet. I can't take any more anxiety.
Can't take any more stress. I cut out all the fun foods.
Oh, God, that's really what our diet is.
We did. Well, I've only been doing alcohol very sparingly.
That's true. Like, usually it's when I'm with people.
And I cut out caffeine. Let's talk about that. Well, I figured right now, since I'm in between jobs, it was a good time because my body can adjust before I have to.
That's true.
Work for 12 hours.
I don't think I'm allowed to cut out coffee.
No, you're definitely not allowed to. You're not a nice person without coffee.
No, I'm not.
No.
There's a court order in place and everything.
Yeah, you are 100% not allowed to cut out coffee.
No. But we did cut out dairy, so now we're all about that plant-based life.
Anyway, we need information. We have nothing else going on in our lives. There's too many foods we can't eat.
I can't stress eat anymore, guys. Please don't add stress to my life.
Right? Stress eating vegetables is just not fun.
You can't stress eat carrots. You can't.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting.
Although, who was it? Schmidt? Maybe Schmidt said they hope to say something by Sonoma. So, I don't know. It's coming up quick.
We still don't have information on Penske.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't put it past, I mean, if Alio only does the 500, like, let's say he doesn't do the full season, he only does the 500, I wouldn't put it past Penske to have snatched up Fernando Alonso.
The only thing is Penske is Chevy and Fernando's been driving Honda.
But does he have a contract with Honda?
I don't know. I don't know the F1 contracts.
Because I think that he's been having issues with McLaren Honda in F1.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if I were having issues with somebody and I was out of contract, like, I would purposefully drive another engine just to give a big middle finger to him.
Oh, I mean, that's how we roll in this podcast.
Yeah. So, since there have been issues with him and Honda in the past, if his contract's up with them, like, if I were him, I'd be like, I'm going to a Chevy team just because I can.
You would say, I don't know how to say goodbye in Spanish.
Adios.
Thank you. Somehow I was going to say senor, and I knew that was wrong.
Adios, muchachos.
Adios, muchachos. Adios, Honda. I wanted to bring this up later, but I can talk about it now since you brought up Penske real quick. There was an article I think it was IndyCar.com. It was talking about, they put out articles about the different people who are in championship contending. First of all, they talked about Castroneves, and they used the term Chihuahua, and I thought it was slightly racist. Just a little racist. I was like, hey, maybe we don't use the term Chihuahua, but that's okay. But I guess the article mentioned he was still trying to change Penske's mind about everything. So I was like, that's really interesting. Like, reading between the lines.
Sounds like that decision's already been made.
It sounds like that decision's been made. And B, it sounds like Elio didn't want it to happen.
Yeah.
So, wow. I mean, wild speculation. Just reading the article, but.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
Shit we didn't make up.
Okay, this one, as you know, we are, of course, fans of the greatest oval in Earth ever.
Of course.
So, how many cars make the Indy 500 field?
33.
And why is 33 a very extra special number?
Well, it's an extra special number this year because, and I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast yet, but Molly and I, prior to starting this podcast, we had deemed this year hashtag the year of awesome.
True.
And we both turned 33 this year. Molly already has. I will in another month and a half.
Yep.
And I've said, you know, the year of awesome, we turned 33. There's 33 drivers in the Indy 500. Coincidence? I think not.
You know what else there are 33 of?
I do, but I'll let you tell.
Oh, okay. There are also 33 windows in the front side of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway's administration building right off of Georgetown 16th.
You're damn right there are.
Now, how exciting is that? Like, I love it. That's one of my favorite things to drop.
It's such a fun fact.
It's one of those, like, you start to drink a little bit and you're like, did you know that there are 33 drivers and there are 33 windows?
And obviously that was done on purpose.
Oh, 100% was done on purpose.
Yeah. So, way to go, IMS.
Way to go. 33, guys.
It's 33. And now everybody has a fun hashtag fun fact for your next party.
It's a fun fact for your next party. A fun fact for your next IndyCar party.
Fun fact to drop on Sunday while you're watching the race.
Yeah, the last race of the season.
Last race of the season, which is, it airs at 6:30 p.m.
Yes, our time.
Eastern time.
Yes, which is
3:30.
2:30. 2:30, they're 4 hours.
Oh, are they 4 hours?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we're in daylight time.
Yeah, and I always have to make sure I don't text my sibling too early.
Yeah. I know, doing that time zone math. There's a funny story about time zones, by the way. When I was a kid, and I believed in Santa Claus, like, I was, like, kind of buying it, but it was, like, when I started to question things, and I was like, okay, here's what I don't buy. I was like, and I asked my older brother, and he's 16 years older than I am, so, you know, I was, like, 8, and he was, like, 24, and I was like, okay, but how does he really fly around the whole world in one night? And my brother didn't even miss a beat. He goes, time zones.
I love that.
Right? I was like, what a great answer.
That's a perfect answer. Time zones. Ooh, time zones. I'm going to have to write that down. That's right? Good.
Yeah. So, yeah, fun fact, 33 windows in the administration building.
33 drivers on the field, and we turned 33 this year.
So, 33 all around.
But we don't look 33.
Damn right we don't.
So, I want to point that out there for any single eligible men. I'm helping out our mothers right now. We don't look 33.
Right.
Oh, God. I'm to my mom.
Yeah, she'll be very proud of you for saying that.
She listens, so I'll hear about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a couple weeks. I'll probably hear about it in 2 months if my mom listens to this episode.
Every now and then we get a random download of a late episode, and I just want to be like, is that your mom?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely Birdie.
Nice.
That's 100% Birdie. My favorite is the one time she goes, well, I'd listen more, but why are your podcasts so long?
We got a lot of shit to talk about, Birdie.
Right? I was like, there's lots of stuff to talk about. She's like, you couldn't do like half an hour. And I'm like, if we did half an hour, it would just be the facts and nothing funny.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Right? I'm like, nobody wants a boring podcast. So no, it goes a little long. Sorry, not sorry.
It's an editorial, opinion-based podcast. Okay.
Right. So we've got some exciting stuff in female racer news.
Right. So, Fox Sports put out a list of 20 notable female racing drivers. Now they called it drivers, but it did include some of the motocross ladies.
Oh, very cool.
which is really, I mean, it's cool. The IndyCar drivers they listed, of course, were Sarah Fisher.
Yep.
Jenna Guthrie, obviously.
Who was the first woman to ever race in the Indy 500.
There you go. Catherine, we've never come down on how we pronounce. Is it?
It's leg.
Okay. Catherine Leg.
I just like to say leggy, but it's leg.
I mean, I like leggy a lot better.
It's just more fun to say.
I mean, you know, whatever, Catherine, we're just saying. Catherine Leg, Pippa, obviously.
Obviously.
Danica Patrick, again, obviously.
Yep.
And then
she's done IndyCar and NASCAR, so.
There you go. And Simona DiSilvestro.
Yes. Which Simona's a hell of a driver.
Simona's a badass. She's just a badass. So,
I was just saying, she's a complete badass. But yeah, so 6 of the 20 were IndyCar drivers, so that's pretty awesome.
You know, they had, you know, the four sisters. Apparently there are three Force sisters who all do drag racing of one kind or another.
Good for them.
So that was cool. And then a couple of other NHRA, a couple of just GT or stock cars, and then a couple of motocross too. But IndyCar had 6 out of the 20, so suck it.
If only our actual female representation in IndyCar was that good.
I know. Ugh, makes me sad.
I know. That's actually kind of funny that when they put up the 20 most notable racing drivers, I mean, I think it's because of how famous the Indy 500 is, but, like, there's definitely the proportion of IndyCar drivers to other female drivers is way out of proportion compared to how many actual female drivers are in IndyCar versus the other types of racing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One day, though.
One day. So, it's not a bad list. I've read it a couple times. I wish they would have put more information. Like, this is just me being critical. I wish they would put more information. Like, for Pippa, they're like, she was the only female to start the 101st Indy 500. And I was like, that's all you're going to write.
You didn't put that she won the championship for for Indy Lights.
Like, she's won the light. She's gone back to back. Like, she's been in the 500 so many. Like, that's all you're going to put. Okay.
Yeah.
It was really, like, bare bones for everybody. And I was like, well, Fox Sports.
Yeah. Could have done a little bit better job on that.
I mean, at least copy and paste the Wikipedia page. Okay? It's not that hard.
The bare minimum.
That's how we roll this podcast.
I'm surprised they didn't include Lynn St. James. Because she was the second woman to ever race in the Indianapolis 500, and it had been a long time from Janet Guthrie to Lynn St. James. So, when Sarah Fisher came in, Lynn St. James was still racing.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that Lynn St. James isn't on there as well. I would say that she's definitely notable because, I mean, Janet Guthrie was the very first one, mm-hmm. but it's not like Lynn St. James had it easy because there weren't any other females competing at that time.
Yeah, it was definitely a larger gap. She kind of came back and redid the whole thing. I don't know.
Yeah, she kind of had to re-break that glass ceiling, so... Yeah.
I kind of feel like all female drivers still have to re-break that glass ceiling.
I 100% agree with that. Yeah.
But, I'm happy a list is out, you know, anything that we can to promote female drivers, so I was happy for that.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. Oh, sorry if you all heard that. That's my mom texting me. That's awkward. So it came out, we tweeted it, and how about this for a shameless plug? Hey, what's our social media, Abby?
Our social media, if you're not already following our Twitter and you want to check this out, it is on our Twitter. We did tweet it out, and it is @FastCars in 317, and that's IM. Our Instagram is FastCarsFastGirls, and our Facebook, it's actually, if you do facebook.com/FastCarsFastGirls,
yes.
That'll take you right to our page. Or yes. You can just search FastCarsFastGirls in the search bar, mm-hmm. and you will find us there as well.
Yes.
And if you want to contact us directly, we've got a Gmail account, and it is fastcarsfastgirls317@gmail.com.
And by the way, since we're on it, we are hosted on Podbean, so we're fastcarsfastgirls.podbean.com. You can download the episodes right there. We are also on pretty much any podcasting directory, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. I think the only thing we're not on is Spotify, and that's because you have to be really cool to be on Spotify, and we really aren't now.
We're not quite there yet. Not yet. So, and if you didn't remember the Podbean, you can actually just go to www.fastcarsfastgirls, and it will redirect you immediately to the Podbean site.
Yeah, that's probably a lot quicker to type in.
Fastcarsfastgirls.com.
We would appreciate you subscribing to our podcast on whatever platform you use, rating us and reviewing us, because it's helpful. We'd like to know what you guys like, because we'll do more of it.
Absolutely. And we actually do have a YouTube page as well. We haven't had that much new recently, just because we haven't been videoing ourselves.
It's a little hard right now.
But we will do more in the off season.
Yeah, we actually have some fun things planned in the off season. Some fun little things we're gonna do just to get out there and have fun. So
and keep things interesting.
Yeah.
So don't worry when you are
jonesing
for IndyCar.
There you go.
You can come here.
Come hang out with your girls.
Yep, we can all jones together and have a good time.
Well, speaking of the end of the season.
End of the season. So
one last race.
The Sonoma.
The
one last race.
The GoPro Grand Prix of Sonoma. Excuse you.
Mabby.
Yes. Let's see. Here's some quick notes about it. It is 2.2 miles. It is 12 turns. So the drivers will take 85 laps for a total of 190. Oh, God. I think that's 5.7 miles.
Yeah.
My handwriting sucked a little bit. Past winners are Briscoe in 12, Power 13, Dixon 14 and 15, and then Pagano won it last year in 2016.
All right. And Pagano was also the championship winner last year.
Yeah. He pretty much had it buttoned up by the time it got to the Grand Prix last year, and it was like he had to place at least fifth, and he would have won.
Gotcha. So he would have had to really mess some stuff up to lose it.
And I could be wrong about the fifth one. So. Whereas this year.
But yeah, it's super close.
It's super close. Let's see. First of all, the track, which we'll post a picture of it. So I spent two summers ago, I drove the Highway 1 from Leggett, California, all the way down to San Francisco. And it really does remind me of driving the 1 because of all the, there's like two big switchbacks on corner 7 and corner 11.
Yeah.
It does. It reminds me of that.
Climb between 1 and 2.
Yes.
As well, which.
Yeah.
Plays a big part in your speed and
two, I guess for a while they've had a lot of like that's where everybody bunches up right at the beginning.
Mm.
And you can get some accidents in there. So that'll be interesting to see what happens this year.
That will be interesting.
So
well and it's I mean it's September, so it's still warm.
Yeah.
So
let's see, yeah, Saturday, look at me. I even looked up the weather for Sonoma.
Look at you.
I know. I've been on the Weather Channel recently. There's been some shit going down, what can I say?
Hey, I've been addicted to watching weather nonstop.
I mean, I'm a 90-year-old woman. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm so upset we don't have the Weather Channel because Mom went down to, like, bare bones on our cable. And I love Jim Cantore so much.
He is so great.
He is, and he's so jazzed about all extreme weather. I mean, all of the meteorologists are, but Jim Cantore is my absolute favorite.
Yes.
But I will say, so I've been watching the CNN weather. Just been watching CNN Live all the time with all the Hurricane Irma stuff. And I'll tell you what, I should have made a drinking game out of the word eyewall.
Oh, shit, that's totally a hurricane drinking game.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Or rain band. That could be another one.
Yeah, outer band.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But eyewall, oh my gosh. Like, I told Mom about it, we were watching it, and literally within 15 seconds, they said eyewall 5 times.
Oh, shoot.
So, but yeah. But I do hope that everybody, you know, in Florida is safe and is doing okay.
Yeah, I have an aunt and a cousin who are in St. Pete, right outside of Tampa. Oh. Yeah, apparently they're all right. They lasted through the night, so.
That's good.
Everybody just waits on that flooding is the second part. Let's see. Saturday's high is 87 and sunny, and then Sunday is 91 and sunny. So it's
okay.
I mean, it's already going to be hot. You're on a track that's in the middle of wine country. There's no cover. There's, you know, that track's going to get hot. You're going to have to deal with tire wear, I think.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think tire wear is going to be a big factor. And I don't think we're going to see really fast speeds with temperatures that high.
I'll say, stop it, dog. The track record that Briscoe set was 1 minute 16 seconds, 0.4913.
I can't imagine they're going to break that this weekend.
I don't feel like they are. And I didn't write down what year that was because sometimes I just don't.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Unnecessary. Really, at the end of the day, Briscoe doesn't care if you know what year. He just cares that you know that he owns it.
I'm okay with that. We know, Briscoe.
Right?
We know.
I mean, like, if I held a record for something, I'd be like, I don't care if you know what year, as long as you know that record is mine.
Right. It is mine. I claimed it.
The part that important is who has the track record, not when they got it.
And whose name is on that track record? That's right. It me.
Right? That'd be me.
Stuck it.
So I think the tire wear is going to be a very big factor.
Yeah, I just don't know. It's going to be weird.
So, I imagine we'll see some bubbling of the tires.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah. Some blistering, if you will.
You are learning.
I know. I can do things sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, if I really want to. I 100% agree with you. I think tire wear is going to be an issue. I think that temperature is going to be an issue. Plus, I mean, since it's 2:30 in the afternoon, I mean, that's getting into, like, right at the heat of the day.
Yeah.
And so I think that that is going to be a factor for the drivers as well, because as everybody in Indiana knows, you know, when you've got higher temperatures, you just get worn out faster. It's a lot easier to get dehydrated. You get tired faster. I mean, the sun and the heat will take it out of you like nobody's business.
Yeah, and so then you kind of deal with concentration on a winding course with elevation changes. Like, oh my God.
And again, this is a little bit later in the day. So like we discussed with the Bomarito, you know, because this is all the way on the West Coast and they haven't had a race out that far west since Arizona.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, most of the drivers, their bodies are on Eastern time.
Yeah.
So they're going to feel like they're racing at 6:30 at night.
I mean, and I know that a lot of them have started to make their way out there, but I can remember when I went out. I mean, well, you and I remember when we went to Hawaii and that was 6 hours or however many, 12 hours it felt like.
Yeah. I mean, changing your sleep schedule around. So I think that that might play part as well. So I'll be curious to see if our younger drivers do better.
Yeah.
Since it's, in my opinion and in my experience, easier to flip your schedule around the younger you are.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, our drivers like Newgarden and Daly might have a little bit more of an edge.
I think you're right. Oh, yeah, especially them boys who stay out and party all night.
Exactly. That's the thing. They're flipping their schedule around every weekend as it is. So.
Connor's like, finally, my time has come. I'm out partying every other weekend. Let's go.
Let's go. They got no problem sleeping in.
They can sleep when the sun's out. Oh, God.
Right?
To be that young.
To be that young again.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. What's also interesting, by the way, is that Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan is fielding another car for the Sonoma.
Really?
Yes. So, Clement? I really hope it's pronounced Clement because it almost sounds like chlamydia.
It does almost sound like chlamydia.
Which is unfortunate. DeMillo is a lights driver. He was a lights driver. He placed fifth this season. He will be driving the second car for RLL.
Oh.
So they're fielding two cars.
Interesting.
And what's more interesting is that Sato's, by all accounts, going to be driving for RLL next year. So I don't know what this means. Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
It's one of those, it's like all the other announcements this week. You're just kind of like, I don't know what to say yet.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's so many moving pieces. I mean, good on him for having a ride. Good on him for switching up to IndyCar the same season he's been driving for lights. But what the fudge does this mean?
Yeah. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, although maybe, you know, maybe they just want to get him in an IndyCar.
So, the article, let's see. Dang it.
Get his feet a little bit wet. Maybe he's still going to drive Indy Lights next year, but maybe they're going to pull him for a couple races.
Yeah.
And then after that, look at taking him full time. So maybe it's just kind of to see what he does in the big leagues.
Let's see. Gosh, I'm trying to get this to load. And of course, my computer is having none of it right now.
Of course.
It's like, nope. Let's see. Camillo indicated that, oh, he's Canadian. Okay. I don't care. that he, it's an incredible moment and he's getting that much closer to securing a full-time position for RLLR for next season.
Oh.
Yeah. And then Bobby Ray Hall. Oh, it's Zachary Clement DeMillo. My bad. His first name is Zachary.
Okay.
Not Clement. I feel a little, that's a middle name, so it's cool. I get the weird middle names. It's fine, Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, let's see, our goal for Zach is that, and this is from IndyCar.com, you know, he's got a good race and that this could be a stepping stone for 2018. So, what the heck?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Which RLL has confirmed that Sato's moving to them, right?
I mean, I don't know if there's been the official, because I think everybody's going to wait till the end of the season, but Michael's talked about it. Everybody's talked about it. I just don't think there's been that final official press release.
Gotcha. But I hope that this doesn't screw Sato over.
I know. I'm kind of like, but what about Sato?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of twists and turns, this Sonoma race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, I'll be curious to see how he does.
Yeah, I will too. I'm not going to put him in any of my picks just because he's, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to put him in my picks, that's for sure.
No. Speaking of, you got your picks ready? Can I fill out who you're going to pick for first already?
Sure.
Is it going to be Newgarden?
It is going to be Newgarden. It is indeed. My top five, I'm going to pick Pagenaud.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good bet.
And top ten, I'm going to pick Dixon.
Okay.
First out... Piggott. By the way, so I since I knew we were recording today, I have very vivid, realistic dreams all the time.
Oh my God.
They're always very lifelike and whatever. And so I dreamed last night all about IndyCar.
I'm so scared.
you and I were talking to Ed Carpenter. And it was like, and we were at the Sonoma race, and it was like before the race had happened, and we were talking to him, and he said, I'm so fucking tired of this season. I can't wait for 2018.
I don't feel like that's a dream.
I mean, I feel like he said that to somebody, but I woke up and it made me laugh. I'm so fucking over this season.
Can't wait for 2018. Oh, who was I? Well, I was talking... I'm not going to say her name, but I'm going to talk. I was talking to another one of our Speedway hood rats.
All right.
And you, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
She's, I guess, a couple of 500s ago, Ed Carpenter nearly got into it with somebody at the 500.
I think we watched a video of that.
Was it at the 500? I know we watched another one.
We did watch another one, but maybe I just did that on my own because I went down the rabbit hole of IndyCar fights.
But she just brought it up, kind of, we were talking about something else, IndyCar, and she's like, yeah, I remember Ed Carpenter just, like, walked towards somebody, and I was like, that's because Ed got that Speedway hood rat in him.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
So both you and I picked the Ed Carpenter racing drivers to get out this race. I picked Hildebrand. I picked the man bun.
Yeah, Hildebrand.
It breaks my heart, but he's not had a really great season.
He really has not.
So I have him out as first out.
All right.
Picked Power as first. I hope everybody's happy. I picked Newgarden for top five.
I think that's a good choice.
I feel like that's a choice you have to make at this point. I think.
Oh, 100%.
His back has been so outstanding, you can't not have him in top five.
No.
Plus, he's
trying to get that championship.
He's trying to get that championship. And then I have Rossi for top 10. I think he will do better, but what is the sort of unspoken issue is there's going to be the Penske fight for the end of this race.
There is going to be the Penske fight. I mean, like we discussed last time, there wasn't really any interaction between Newgarden and Pagenaud on the track. And so, I think that this race, it's double points. They're mm-hmm. both still a possible winner for the championship. Mm-hmm. Pagenaud won the championship and this race last year.
Yep.
And, I mean, he's not giving up an inch. And either's Newgarden. No. So
it's going to be a good race.
I think they might be in the win it or wreck it group this time.
Right. They're either going to place really well or one of them's going to crash out the other.
Yeah, if one of them gets out in a wreck, I bet that it's with the other one.
Yeah, oh, I 100% am with you on that one. I'm going to make a note of that. I think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see an on-track fight, and then, like, Will's going to win.
Oh, yeah, if one of them crashes at the other one, we might see actual fist thrown. Like, it might turn into a hockey fight.
I don't know how I'm going to react, but I might run around the room just chanting fight slogan, like, get some!
I'm not saying it wouldn't be entertaining. It'd be great television.
Oh, I'd start flipping over to all of the radios on my phone.
Oh, immediately.
I'd have Dad download it on his so I can listen to both radios. Just hear Race Control yelling.
Time. Yeah.
Just yelling at them.
Oh, that would be funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be, I mean, it's so close. So, in first right now, points-wise, is Newgarden at 560,
mm-hmm.
and then Dixon at 557,
mm-hmm.
Castroneves at 538, Pagano at 526, and Power at 492.
Yeah.
So, only 68 points between first and fifth place. And how many points did you say are possible?
So, if you were to have a perfect race at Sonoma, meaning you get pole, you lead all of the laps, you get, you know, all the bonus points for doing that, you would have 187 points. If you did that, the second place winner would only earn 80 points.
So
that just, and the least points you can earn in a top five. Just finishing top five, you don't even lead a lap, which I would find kind of like, I feel like you'd have to lead a lap, is 60 points.
Okay.
So the range is 187 to 60. It is anybody's game, really.
It really is.
I mean, I would say let's say Newgarden and Pagano crash each other out. I would extend the people in the championship run definitely to Rossi, probably Ray Hall even.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Sato's really gonna. He's 139 points behind, but
yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen. But yeah, well, and also depending on what lap they went out, that would also affect things as well.
Yeah. So it's going to be tight. It's tight. In the top 10, so just top 10, all of the Penske drivers are top 10. Three out of the four Andretti Autosports are top 10.
Except, yeah, they are.
Except Marco.
Shocker.
Shocker. And then two out of three Ganassi, because, nope, two out of four Ganassi. I always forget Ganassi's got four cars.
Yeah. I think it's because we don't like Kimball.
I forgot. I looked right at it and went, shit, I forgot Kimball.
Right, we always forget Kimball. People should forget Kimball.
So two out of the four Ganassi cars. So, I mean, Penske has all of his in top, but the other more powerhouse teams have some in there for top 10.
Yeah.
And then our favorite Canadian is 11th.
Yeah, he is.
I just like to mention our favorite Canadian.
I love Hinch.
I do too. I told somebody today, if you get me drunk enough, I do a really good Hinch and Michaela lotion. And they didn't know who I was talking about. I was sad. I don't know. What do you think about the standings right now? Anything that really jumps out to you if you stare at it?
I mean, I think the top five are all powerhouse drivers.
Definitely.
Yeah, and so I really think that it could be anybody's championship.
Yeah.
It's a shame that Newgarden was not able to finish the race last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I think that he's definitely not as far ahead in points as he would like to be. I think that really had a big impact on where he's at in the standings. And, you know, not that he can't still win it, but
mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'd be feeling better coming into this race if there was more of a spread between him and Dixon than 3 points.
3 points between you and Scott Dixon? Jesus, I wouldn't be sleeping.
No. I mean, nightmares. It's not Dixon's first rodeo, I'll tell you that.
Nightmares of just Scott Dixon right behind me.
Right? Yeah, of him tailgating me on the interstate.
I think that was it. Like, what was that horror movie about, like, some haunted semi-truck?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a semi-truck. It's just got Dixon behind you. That's what Joseph falls asleep to at night. No, I mean, I'm with you. I think Joseph's just had an amazing year, especially the back half of it. I'm sad he's not farther ahead. And I mean, I know you're a huge Newgarden fan. I don't have strong feelings about him one way or the other. I think he's a great driver, and I'm sad he's not farther ahead, because I think this has really been a great season for him.
It has been a great season for him. And even if he doesn't win the championship, he should be very proud of his season.
I mean, I'd hold my head up high. I mean, like, fuck yes.
I mean, he has more than doubled the number of races that he's won his career this season.
Yeah.
So, I think, I would love to see him win the championship.
Oh, yeah. What do you think? You want to lay out your top five? You think you can do that?
Oh, for the championship?
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to say Newgarden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm torn between Dixon and Padge now.
Okay. I mean, I will say my first second is Joseph or Scott, and I just couldn't choose, so I'm happy to say that for yours.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Newgarden for first, and then two and three, I'm going to say tied for two, I'll say Dixon and Pagenaud.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say Power and then Castro Nevis.
Okay, we're pretty close. I got Dixon or Newgarden for first second, and I just, I can't make that decision. Make that decision. And then I have Power for third, Pagenaud for fourth, because I was like, well, if I have Will winning Sonoma, he probably should do a little higher than Pagenaud. And then I think I actually have Rossi for fifth. I think he's coming off strong. I think he's going to do real well. So
that's true. He's coming off of a win. So
he's coming off of a solid. It's a solid last two or three races. So
yeah, he's had a good last few races. So
yeah.
I mean, Rossi's definitely still a contender.
I mean, the last double point race was, well, the only other double point race is Indy. And just looking at that, Sato got, and obviously, like, they have more laps than Sonoma, so the points are going to be higher.
Yes.
But Sato got 137, Castro Neves got 96, Jones got 93, Chilton got 86, and Kanaan got 91. So that just shows you how wide and varied the point ranges are. Even, I mean, Kanaan placed fifth and got more points than Chilton.
Where did Chilton place?
Fourth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's 5 points between the two of them.
Yeah, so, yeah, because it takes into account laps led and all that business.
Yeah.
So, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be a good race on Sunday.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be a great race to watch. I mean, I think that the drivers are probably as excited as the fans are about this race.
Oh, yeah. Last year it wasn't as close as the championship. This is definitely much closer.
Yeah.
So everybody get you a good glass of California wine, or a good bottle, in my case.
Yep. And enjoy an IndyCar race.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, I think we already covered some of the silly season.
We covered
business.
The silly season. Talked about that. Talked about Alonso.
Yeah. I guess it's probably time to wave the white flag.
It's time to wave the white flag. What else you got?
I don't think I have anything else.
Look at you. I don't know what to do
first
with my life.
First time ever.
I don't. Am I dying?
I know. First time ever. I don't think I have anything else to say.
Is this what heaven feels like?
It's what quiet feels like.
That's heaven to us introverts.
I know. all right, what else you got?
So I'm going to take a minute for personal privilege. So we are doing the Indiana Donor Network 5K in October. Team Heliker runs again. So
right.
we'll tweet it out, you know, if you want to support us and support a great cause. That's awesome, because this just hit a moment or so ago before we started taping. Pippa Mann and Shay Holbrook, who, as people might remember, raced together in IMSA
a couple weeks ago,
they will be racing out in California. And they are going to be promoting the Driven to Save Lives while they're out in California.
Excellent.
So, very exciting. I will have to buy my father some very pink Pippa Mann gear.
Yeah, you will.
Because a lot of people don't know this, but if you're a lung transplant, one of the things they tell you is when they put the lungs in, the first thing you want to do is see those lungs pink up, is kind of the big term that they use. So,
yep.
We've joked about pink a lot, so he's going to get himself some pink gear.
Yeah, he is.
So very
for his pink lungs.
For his pink lungs. Excited to see that Pippa's done really, she's really kind of caught on to the Driven to Save Lives, and I'm very thankful for that.
Good.
So,
good for her.
That's my little bit right there.
Excellent. So if you want to run or walk in this, you absolutely should.
Or
join
join
the fun.
Or you can just give money. You don't have to run or walk.
That's true. I actually, I don't remember which race it was, but it was some charity race, and you could either walk or you could
the whole sleep in
money
thing.
And say that, like, you'll sleep in. And
yes.
So instead of sending you a shirt, they sent you, like, a door hanger.
Oh my gosh.
For your bedroom door that said, like, you know, sleeping for such and such cause.
I love that. That's
and
funny.
I was like, oh, this is right up my alley.
Oh, I can nap for this? Nobody told me nap was available.
Right? So you can nap.
You can nap.
To save lives.
Big nap to save lives. There you go. That's going to be their next thing. I'm going to talk to them about it. Hashtag nap to save lives.
Yeah, you should talk to them about it. Actually, it was super successful.
Yeah, I think Komen does something like that. You can do, like, napping to save lives.
Yeah, I think it might have been Komen that I did it for. But yeah, the addition of getting a door hanger, that was, like, I didn't expect that. I was like, that's hysterical.
That's funny. I love that.
I was like, that's 100% worth it right there. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, yeah. I think we've covered everything.
I really think so, too. And tell your mom that we're only going to be about an hour so she can listen to us.
I know. I'll have to let her know. She can try and catch up.
Tell her that my mom's too behind, so it's okay.
All right. Well, I guess we can wave the checkered flag on that.
All right. Let's wave the checkered flag in an hour. Look at us. Thanks for listening.
Have a good one.